May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Do not think that I have come to bring peace, but the sword. I come to set father against son, mother against daughter. I wonder what someone coming to a church for the first time hearing that gospel would make of what we're all about. What would they think of this Christian thing? And even for us, as hard-bitten veterans of this Christianity thing, even for us, these words are frankly shocking, challenging, and we wish they weren't there. And particularly, it feels, at this moment in the history of our country, when the word is all about division and estrangement, we don't want to hear this from coming from the lips of Jesus, that he comes to bring not peace, but division. How is it, what's going on, that the man who we think of as being the man who preached about loving our neighbor as ourselves, who reached out across barriers to bring people together, how is it that he preaches these words that we don't want to hear from his mouth? So I think we have to understand the immediacy of the context in which Jesus spoke these words. He spoke them immediately to his fellow Jews, those who were tempted and thinking or had even committed themselves to being his disciples. Because he knew those who chose to follow him were setting themselves at odds with the religion of their birth. They were setting themselves at odds with their families. They were setting themselves at odds with the religion of their nation. And he was telling them up front that this was going to be a deeply painful thing, and that they better recognize what they were in for. But Jesus' words don't just speak to a group of people 2,000 years ago. They also speak to us. Because Jesus and following Jesus and committing ourselves to loving God and loving our neighbor above all else sets us at odds with any other group, person, or institution that claims our loyalty above these crucial things about following Christ. Anybody or anything that tries to limit our willingness to love others as we wish to be loved is setting itself at odds with us. And ultimately, will reject us if we remain committed to Christ. And so these words speak to us too, as they did to Jesus' fellow Jews 2,000 years ago. I've been thinking a lot about St. Francis of Assisi over the last month, and his life seems to have been resonating with a number of the gospel readings we've been hearing about it. And in many ways, St. Francis' life personifies what it means to follow Christ at the cost of everything else. You probably know that St. Francis, he was definitely a one percenter. In fact, his dad was a very wealthy cloth merchant, and he was definitely, you know, a playboy. I mean, he would have had, what would he have had? A kind of nice car, a Rolls Royce, a Porsche. I mean, he was living the high life. He was probably like a 0.1%er. He lived the high life, and he was partying with his friends the whole time, and his dad expected him to take over the family business and become like him, a leading wealthy man in Assisi. But after his time in a dank prison as a prisoner of war, he found his soul cracked open, and God's Holy Spirit entered into his life, and he found Christ calling him in a different direction, to turn his back on all that, and to commit himself to loving his neighbor as himself, for caring for those most poor and in need, for committing himself totally to Christ. And the cost he bore for this was enormous. You know, rejection by his family, by his father, mocked by his friends. And so if any of us think the discipleship of Christ is merely being a law-abiding citizen, we need to think again. But I also wonder whether at this moment of history, the moment of history we find ourselves in our nation and in this world, whether this message of Jesus of division and bringing the sword is the message we need to hear at this moment in time. I know that there are churches on both the left and the right that are taking political positions that reflect the divisions within our nation. But I wonder whether we as Episcopalians, whether we as the people of St. Andrews, are being called to a different path, a path that isn't either or. A few weeks ago, I was with my spiritual director, and he's a great fan of Søren Kierkegaard, the 19th century Danish philosopher, who was very much an either-or kind of guy. You're either with me or you're against me. And there are definitely moments in our lives as Christian people where we have to make either-or decisions. But I was telling my friend that I'm much more of a Hegelian kind of chap, who was Kierkegaard's philosophical nemesis. And I'm much more influenced by contemporary Christians who follow a Hegelian path of Christianity. And this is a path, you know, exemplified most obviously to me by my great spiritual hero, Rowan Williams, the last Archbishop of Canterbury. And Williams talks extensively again and again about the importance of conversation. He holds up conversation as being a holy activity in which we discern through our conversations with other people about God's path for us. None of us, St. Paul tells us, knows the truth in its entirety. All of us see through a mirror dimly. All of us have elements of the truth, but not the totality of it. And it's by and through conversation, as through the dialectic, as Hegel would say, with the presentation of a thesis, then being presented with an antithesis by a conversation partner, that we begin to see more fully what the truth is and reach a synthesis. I feel that at this moment of our history, we badly need people who are willing to enter into conversation with each other, to listen to each other, not to enter a conversation with a watered-down opinion, to hold fast to Christ's teaching, but to be willing to converse with each other. A few months ago, a member of our congregation, Charlene Smith, who many of you might know, who is a South African, she was an anti-apartheid journalist in South Africa who fought against apartheid. She at considerable risk to her own life, and who was one of the people behind the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa, is the biographer of Nelson Mandela. She was speaking to a group of us here in this church. And towards the end of her talk about the Truth and Reconciliation process in South Africa, she talked about her fear for this country. And what her fear is that she looks around this country and sees people who don't want to talk to each other, who don't want to talk to each other. And she expressed the fear that if we don't talk to each other, we begin to demonize each other and imagine that we're not, the other person is not a true human being. And so she urged us, as the people of this church and as Americans, to enter into conversation with each other. You don't have to agree with each other, but to converse and to listen, to hold on to our sense of who we are as Christian people, but recognize that other people may also have things to teach us. There are times when we need to take an either-or stand, but there are also times when we need to listen and converse. Amen.